started a new series a couple of weeks ago called Seeking and Searching. Seeking and Searching. And when we did the first message, we kind of put a challenge out to people if we were spending enough time seeking the Lord, if we were spending enough time reading the Word, if we needed to alter anything in our day so that we started the day with the Lord. And I asked the question if people were willing to make a change in their lives so that they sought the Lord that week. And almost the whole church put their hands up. And I told people to look around so that there was accountability. And then I asked the following week, how many of you kept that going for the full week? And about half of the church. And I appreciate your honesty. I'm glad people didn't say, oh yeah, I'm doing it, and you weren't. So I appreciate the honesty. So the question I have now is were you embarrassed enough that week by not raising your hand to have put that right and you carried on with the change? So for those who made a commitment to say, yes, I'm going to alter something, so I'm going to seek the Lord every day, did you change the change that you didn't manage to keep the change? Did you change it back again? So how many of you since that point have said, yes, I am going to really seek the Lord, and I'm going to read the Word, and I'm going to pray more? So who kept that going and made a little change in their lives so that they sought the Lord? Okay, so we've gone from 100% to 50% to 25%. What is wrong with you people? You're making me look bad in front of God. Stop. There needs to be a commitment so that we seek the Lord. We can't expect God to bless our lives. We can't expect God to speak to our hearts if we can't be bothered to read His Word and to seek His face and to pray. So I will do these messages until we get it. And if I got to go back and redo the message again, hey, it'll be an easy job for me. I just won't have to prepare anything. I'll just repeat these messages for the next year. But we're going to get it. Time is running out. The days are dark and desperate and dangerous. The Lord is about to return. The devil is running rampant in this world, and the Christian needs to be prepared. So we've got to seek Him. Why? Because it's important. Otherwise, He wouldn't spend so much time. There's over 300 verses which talk about seeking God, seeking His face, searching out the Scriptures. Last time we saw the time for seeking God. Early will I seek thee. Not just early in our lives, which is important, but early in the day. Start the day off by seeking the Lord. David talked about the thirst for seeking Him, and then we kind of backed that up in the night then when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And David talked about the totality of seeking the Lord. With our whole being, we ought to seek Him. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, and verse 13, we're going to look at the seeker's blessings today. The seeker's blessings. We've looked at why we should seek the Lord. We've looked at how to seek the Lord. And now we're going to look at the benefits of seeking the Lord. What are the seeker's blessings? Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord. We recognize the importance of seeking your face. If it wasn't important to you, you wouldn't have mentioned it so many times in Scripture. We recognize the importance when a lost person comes to know Christ as their Savior, and we get excited then when somebody has sought the Lord and they found Him, and that you've made such a change in their lives. But there ought to be a daily seeking for the believer in Christ, for the child of God. So Lord, would you help us to seek your face? Because we recognize that there are blessings, there are benefits from seeking you. So Lord, would you just speak to our hearts today and challenge us once again that we, if we need to make an alteration in our lives, if we need to make a commitment, that we would put the effort in. Seek you early, so that we would have a thirst for seeking you, so that our total being would simply seek your face, so that we would know more about you, so we would be such that when we come to a difficult situation, your word would come to our hearts and the Spirit would bring it to our remembrance when needed. So Lord, help us to be the seekers we need to be And as a result of that, we appreciate the blessings that come from seeking your face. So, Father, if there's anyone here today that needs to seek you for salvation, we pray that that would be done immediately. If there's anyone here today that needs to make an alteration in their daily routine so they set aside some time to seek your face, then I pray, Lord, that that would be done this week and we would see the blessings and the benefits that come from that. Father, we just pray and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. So you might ask the question, well, is seeking the Lord really worth the effort? Does it actually make a difference? And the answer to those questions are a resounding yes. It is important to seek the Lord. And it does make a difference. Nothing will impact your life more than seeking the Lord. You know, it's amazing how we put so much effort into certain things in our lives. You know, we may put the effort into a family member. We may put the effort into a job. We may put the effort into studies in school, in university. We may put the effort into dieting. We may put the effort into hobbies. Well, wouldn't it be great if we took all of those activities and put the same amount of effort into seeking the Lord? Because guess what? The amount of effort that he put in for saving our souls in turn deserves a certain amount of effort from us to seek his faith. Because he deserves it. And not just the fact that it blesses us in innumerable ways, he deserves that we seek him. So when we look through the Bible, we find a number of blessings that are enjoyed by those that seek the Lord. The first blessing is clarity. In Proverbs 8:17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In Matthew 7, verse 8, it says, For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, But it from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Those who seek the Lord, God has promised that we will find him. And as a result of that, the Lord gives us that understanding and that clarity. God gives us the wisdom that we need to live our lives as believers. There's a difference between having knowledge of the scripture and having wisdom. Knowledge is what we know. Wisdom is how we apply that knowledge. I'm sure you've heard it said before that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. That's the difference. So what does it mean to find him? If he says, well, I found the Lord, you know, I became a Christian. You know, oftentimes people say, oh, you've found the light, or you've seen the light, or you've come to the Lord, or you've found the Lord, or you've found religion. They're the type of words that are used when somebody comes to know Christ as their Savior. So what does it mean for the believer to find the Lord? Because surely we've already found him, or he's found us. Well, the word find means not just to discover, but it also means to understand, to recognize. Those who seek the Lord enjoy the clarity about God, the clarity about who he is, the clarity about what he is all about. Finding the Lord and knowing and understanding him, that's the goal of seeking him. The more time we spend with him, we understand what he likes, what he dislikes. We understand what his word says about certain situations, about certain things. And when we seek him and we will find him, that means we will have an understanding. We will recognize. We will discover. The word seek in Matthew 7:8, when it says, For everyone that asketh receiveth, and him that seeketh findeth. And again, for those who are not that fussed on the King James Bible, the THs are important. So when you see the word seeketh, it is a continuous thing. It's not just a one-time event. It's continuous. Those that seek the Lord, continue seeking the Lord, are constantly seeking the Lord. And that word there adds action to the asking. The idea is not merely to express one's need, but to get up and look for it. Those that seek the Lord, what it's talking about is that those who put in the effort. So for the believer who says, oh yeah, well God just doesn't speak today. Oh yeah, well God's just not answering my prayer. Yeah, revealing himself to me. We've got to put the effort in. We can't expect the Lord to do all the work in that regard, because guess what? He's already done all the work that he needs to do. But we are commanded to seek him. The word seek comes from the Greek word zeteo, which means to look for something earnestly and intently. Like I said before, if it's important, we really put the effort into looking for it. You know, if you lose a button off your jacket or something, you're like, oh, well, there's a button. I'll find another one, or I'll just go to the shop and buy it. You lose your credit card, and I guess what? The seeking in the credit card is different to the seeking in the button that you lost. If it's important, you put the effort into seeking. That word seek means to look for something earnestly and intently, and it is something that is done continuously, not just a one-off thing. The idea of this word is a craving desire to investigate. Guess what? Our time on this earth will never be enough for us to know all it is to know about the Lord. But we should put the effort in to seek him as much as we can, to know as much about him as we can, to know more about him today than we did yesterday, but not to know as much about him today as we will tomorrow. Why? Because we've got to keep putting in the effort. If we seek him earnestly, if we seek him intently, if we seek him constantly, he will give us that clarity that we need. Because we still ask the same questions. Well, why am I here? What's my purpose? What is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? Well, how can we know that and understand that if we're not seeking his face? If we're not seeking his word? If we're not seeking his will? We're just going to kind of float through life, and before we know it, life is going to be over and we've done absolutely nothing for the Lord. The message here is the fact that seeking God in prayer is not a casual exercise. It is something that we put the effort into. It is not going through the motions. You cannot expect God to get serious about answering your prayer if you are not serious in seeking him in prayer. It is the effectual, sincere, fervent prayer that is effective. That's what James says. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, effectual, fervent is a translation of a Greek word which means, which is where we get the word energy from. Are our prayers energetic, or are they static and stained and just repetitive because it's the same prayer we prayed over and over and over and over and over again? Prayer is hard work. Prayer takes energy. Prayer takes time. Ah, well, we haven't got time. Make time. We make time for everything else in our day, so make time to seek the Lord. If we are truly serious about getting to know him, guess what? We'll put the effort into seeking him. If we seek him, the Bible says we'll find it. And as a result of that, the Lord will give us clarity in our lives. Not only do we have the blessing of clarity, but we also have the blessing of contentment when we seek the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." How many of you have ever been at that point where you are starving? I mean, absolutely starving. And then you just can't wait to have that meal. And then when you've had that meal, you just feel absolutely content. Stuffed, but content as well. You know, when if you've ever been hungry, you know the blessing it is then to enjoy a good meal, to understand the feeling of being content. The blessings of God, his presence, his provision, his protection, and his promise leave us filled. They leave us satisfied. They leave us content. If we seek the Lord, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. The Lord is good to them that seek his face. When we look at the Apostle Paul, we find a man that learned to be content with God's provision and care, no matter what he faced. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." Let me ask you this question. Where did Paul write that letter from? Prison is one of the prison epistles. Paul wrote that letter from prison. And he said, no matter where I am or what I'm going through, I've learned to be content. Can I say this? The world today is not content. It's not content about anything. You know, and the world can kind of rub off on us in a little way, because no matter what we have, it's never enough. But Paul said, no matter what situation I face, no matter the difficulties, no matter the trials, no matter the tribulations, no matter the problems, no matter the heartaches, I've learned to be content. Why? Because he sought the Lord in everything, for everything. You know, we kind of live in a day now where we turn on the telly and it says, you deserve the next best thing, and you need to have this, and you can't function without this gadget. And, you know, JML are making a fortune based on our need to have the next best thing. You can't help but go down that aisle and realize, I need that super mop. But you haven't got a tile or wooden floor, you've got carpets everywhere. It doesn't matter, I need that super mop. Because JML said, it's only $9.99, and I need to have it. But that's the kind of society that's been created, isn't it? You need to have that. And those who covet are like the bird. Have you heard of an oyster catcher bird? And the oyster catcher will lay 2 to 3 eggs, but they will desert their nest if they find another nest with 4 eggs. They're also attracted to larger eggs and will desert their nest for a nest that has larger eggs. They will even try to incubate eggs that they can't even sit on or straddle because they're too big for them. And those birds are a fitting illustration of people not content. We are looking everywhere for contentment, and we don't realize that we have it already in the Lord. And Paul said, whatever state I'm in, therewith I've learned to be content. Why? Because he just sought the Lord. Contentment's not found in things, because those things won't last. They'll decay, they'll rot, they'll break, they'll get lost, they'll lose their thrill, or they'll even get stolen. But you can't lose that relationship with the Lord. That can't be stolen from us. The Bible says that no man can pluck you from the Father's hand. That can't be destroyed. That can't be taken from us. Those who seek the Lord each day will find that satisfaction, will find that contentment that they're looking for. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There are blessings for seeking the Lord because he gives us clarity. We live in a world that is cloudy. We live in a world that is dark, and everybody needs that clarity of direction, that clarity of purpose. And seeking the Lord gives us that. We live in a world that tells us nothing is good enough for you. You deserve better. But the Lord says, if I'm all you've got, then you have all you need. And when we seek him, we have that contentment. But the third blessing that comes from seeking the Lord is courage. Psalm 9:10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Those who know and trust and seek the Lord will never be forsaken by him, will never be abandoned by him, in spite of the trials that come. And listen, we may feel alone. We may feel abandoned. But the Lord has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. When David went through those difficult times in his life, the Lord, as his shepherd, was with him in the valley of the shadow of death. Even though Job was sifted like flour and of everything precious to his life, he was not forsaken by the Lord. He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Job lost everything, but he didn't lose the Lord. Job was strengthened by his faith. Job was strengthened by his trust in God. And Job proclaimed that, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. David was hunted by his enemies. David was like a deer pursued by the wolves, but he wasn't abandoned by God. David said, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints, for they are preserved forever. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never forsaken by the Lord. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said to his disciples that he would be with us even unto the end of the world. He's not gone anywhere. We're never forsaken by God. We are eternally secured in Christ. Our salvation is not gained by good works, and therefore our salvation is not maintained by good works. We have nothing to offer the Lord for him to turn around and say, oh, right, okay, you're worth it. Because that's what grace is. That's what mercy is. Because if we were worth it, then Christ wouldn't need to go to the cross. He went to the cross because we're not worthy. We're saved and we're kept by him. We're saved and we're kept by his grace. Peter said, oh, we are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The word kept that Peter used is from a word which means to guard, to protect. How many of you have ever been to London? You know, we're always fascinated to me when we go to London to see all the, like the Queen's Guards. I suppose it's the King's Guards now, I suppose. And, you know, you see all the soldiers in their regalia and, the red outfits and those big black hats. And they're not Busbies. Bearskins, those big bearskin hats, and then the soldiers on the horses with those big, like it almost looked like knights, don't they, with those big metal helmets. And sometimes we think, oh, they're just there for show. But you watch some videos of tourists that have got a bit too close and have kind of messed with those guards, and they find out that they're not there for show. They're there to protect. And that's what it means here, the word kept. It means to guard, to protect by military guard. We are kept, we are guarded, we are protected to prevent a hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. We are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation. The care of our soul is entrusted to Christ. Satan can't have it. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Why? Because we have the courage, because of who he is, not because of who we are. Because we're hopeless, and we're weak, and we're frail, and we're temperamental, and we're sometimes emotional wrecks. But he's the one that keeps us. He's the one that guards us. He's the one that protects us. And when the Christian praises God, we can take those circumstances that can discourage and defeat us, and through God's strength, they can be turned into a victory. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. God's blessings are upon those that seek his face. God's blessings are upon those who seek him, his guidance, his leading, his presence. You know, we've looked at the Beatitudes, you know, when the Lord said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And our word, blessed, there is much deeper. It doesn't just mean happiness. The word blessed implies a heavenly affection, a deep inward abiding joy. Outward prosperity can't give us that. Material possessions can't grant us that kind of blessedness and that inward joy, that eternal joy that we feel as a child of God, as we feel when we seek the Lord. Blessedness is like the peace of the depths of the ocean. You know, when you look at the sea and you see the turmoil on top as the waves are smashing and crashing, but you go underneath the waves and it's like nothing going on. That's the blessedness that we have available to us. That's the courage that we have as a blessing because of seeking His face. But not only do we have that courage, the blessing from seeking the Lord, there's a calmness. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears, Psalm 34:4 says. In 2 Chronicles 14:7 it says, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. You know, I don't know what everybody's facing in this room. I don't know what everybody is going through. And you know, sometimes people come to speak to us and they say, oh, Pastor, this is what I'm going through. And you just feel so helpless. You feel so hopeless because you just sometimes just don't have the words to say, well, look, this is what you need to do. But the Lord is able to provide us a peace and a rest. And a confidence and a calmness. Because we all wrestle with a variety of fears in life. We all go through a whole host of different issues and different problems in our lives. And that can rob us. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have been kept awake at night because of worrying about something? Fear robs us, doesn't it? It robs us of that peace. It robs us of that calmness. How many times have we kind of gone over something in our mind and it's gone over and over and over and over and we just cannot get it out of our mind? Yeah, I remember Eve saying it was a couple of girls had a real issue with Eve in college and in uni. And they were just really mean and nasty to her. And he said, I don't know what I've done. But they just keep thinking that I've done something. And she said something which was quite incredible. She said, I don't know what it is. She said, but I'm living in their heads rent-free. And do you know what? Sometimes Satan lives in our heads rent-free. Because we just kind of turn all these things in our minds, and these fears and these worries keep us awake and actually end up defeating us and robbing us of the calmness that is available to us if we sought the Lord. Because He's promised us that. You know, God frees us from what we fear when we seek His face. God gives us and has promised us a peace that passes understanding. God has promised us a rest to all who labor that would just simply come to Him. And that's quite a statement because we all wrestle with something. We all fear something. We all go through turmoil in our minds at some point. We all have knots and butterflies in our stomachs. We all feel like at some point we are literally worrying ourselves to death. And fear restricts our freedom. It slows us down. It makes us paranoid. It makes us panic. And it makes us such that we are completely defeated as believers. But when we spend time with the Lord, when we seek His face, then He gives us that calmness. He gives us a peace that passes understanding. And then we realize that His promise to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. We realize His promise that if we come unto Him, He'll give us rest because it's His burden and it's His yoke. It's not our burden to carry through life because He said, come to me. God's presence gives us that peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God is the one that rewards us and prospers us when we diligently seek him. He prospered King Hezekiah because of his search for God. You know, when you look at the difficulty that Hezekiah faced, when you think of the enemy that was at his gate, there was no way out, there was no hope, and Hezekiah comes before the Lord and prays just an incredible prayer and seeks God's face. And God answers the prayer and gives Hezekiah a peace and a calmness and a victory that no army could have produced themselves. God is pleased when we seek him. God is pleased when we trust him. God is pleased when we live by faith. If we desire an increase in our faith, you know, some people say, "Well, I just don't have the faith to do that." Then spend more time in the Word. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. "Well, I've got all of this turmoil inside me and I just don't hear God speak." Then spend time in his Word, because that's how he speaks to us. "Yeah, but I've got all of this going on in my mind and I'm just battling this, 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 and this." Then come to the Word, because that tells us how to tear down those strongholds of our minds. This tells us what our minds should be thinking of and dwelling on and focusing on. God's pleased when we seek him. And he rewards us in abundant ways when we search for him. You know, and maybe sometimes we have to go through a trial because that's the only time we seek him like we should. You know, I think I shared this story years ago about I used to surf. I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not a very good swimmer, but I loved surfing. I wouldn't pay any attention to the flags on the beach, or you just don't look at them. Wouldn't pay any attention to the lifeguards that would up in the hut. We were surfing in Rest Bay, really about 17 or 18. And we were surfing in Rest Bay, and we'd surf for about 4 or 5 hours. We'd literally surf the whole tide in. And we went out for one more set, and I come off my board, and the fins on the back of the board come across my ankle and put a gash in my ankle. So I kind of was losing a bit of blood, but I didn't realize it. And I got really weak and couldn't get back to shore then. And the waves were just starting to take me over to the rocks. And then the lifeguard came down the beach, jumped into the water, and pulled me to safety. I'd never paid the lifeguards any attention up until that point, until I needed them. And then when I was going across to the rocks, and I was like, "Right, where's these lifeguards?" You know, when you're in trouble, then you start to look for help. And sometimes as Christians, we kind of take the Lord's presence, and we take his Word, and we take praying, and we take seeking his face for granted. And we don't really do it. We don't appreciate what we have. And then a difficulty comes. And then our world is turned upside down. And then we're like, "Right, Lord, where are you?" He's like, "Well, I'm in the same place I've always been. It's just now you recognize that you need me more than you did yesterday." When we seek the Lord, he gives us the calmness that we need. But not only that, he also gives us, finally, the cheer that we need when we seek him. Psalm 105, verse 3 says, "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Psalm 70, verse 4 says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Another wonderful blessing from seeking God is the cheer that he gives to our hearts, the joy that is available to us that is seeking God, because there's joy in his presence. There is joy in seeking his face. Heaven is a place of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And maybe you were here today and you're depressed. Maybe you were here today and you're down in the dumps. Maybe you were here today and you think there is no hope in this world whatsoever. Well, if you were here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then seek the Lord, because there's joy to be found. There's a forgiveness of sin that the world can't offer you. There's a home in heaven that money can't buy. Seek the Lord and you'll find him, and there'll be cheer. Can I say this, that when I came to know Christ as my Savior, I didn't suddenly go, oh no, what have I done? Oh, this is horrific. There have been plenty of things I've done in my life where I've gone, oh, what have I done now? But coming to know the Lord wasn't one of them. Because suddenly, all the anger that was inside, all the hatred for anybody and everybody that I thought was, the world owed me something, the Lord took all that away, and he replaced it with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And sometimes we lose that joy. You know, you can look at somebody's life and maybe somebody will say, your sparkle's gone. Where's that glint in your eye gone? And life can do that to us. Life can just knock the absolute stuffing out of us. But that's when you need to seek the Lord. Because he'll return to you the joy of your salvation. He'll return to you the years that the locusts have eaten. If you were down in the dumps, depressed and discouraged, then you need to seek the Lord. Someone once said, when a person searches for something he has lost, he is usually filled with sorrow while he looks for it. When he finds the lost article, he is happy. But they who seek the Lord are happy during the search. You know, we came back from Israel, and this is a tough time of year. This is hard. And we came back from Israel, and Joe was really struggling. You know, it's coming up to a year now where Dad went home to be with the Lord, and it's tough. You know, you look at everything. He was Christmas mad. Absolutely. So it's tough when you come to Christmas and you've lost somebody. And I'm sure that anybody here, not just losing somebody at Christmas, but when you come to Christmas, it's an even tougher time. And for any of you who knew Topher, then you would know the type of person he was for Christmas. The first frost that was ever seen, he would start singing, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas." So it was tough. It was tough coming home from Israel. We'd been kept busy, and Joe just said, I'm struggling. You know, I am really hurting. My heart is just broken. And, you know, she puts on a brave face because her mother's an absolute mess and just falls apart at, like, every single moment. So she kind of keeps Jan on the straight and narrow, stops her from turning to drink and all of that. But Joe was struggling. And, we'd obviously pray about it every single day. And, we just seek the Lord and ask for his help and his strength. And on Thursday night, we went out to a candlelit concert in Llandaff Cathedral. And it was the music of Hans Zimmer, just a little string quartet. It was all these candles lit, and it was lovely. And for Christmas last year, I bought Joe a red coat. And it was expensive. I mean, it's probably one of the best gifts she's ever had. She's worn it twice. So we're going out to this concert, and I'm like, put your red coat on. Because I paid a lot of money for that, and I haven't worn it yet. So she put her red coat on. So we're in this concert, and the concert finished, and me and Eve and Sam are kind of wandering over one side of the cathedral, because Sam went to, his boyfriend went to Llandaff school, so he was like, oh, this is what happened in the cathedral here, and this is what I used to do when I was growing up. And we turn across, and Joe is talking to this woman. I'm like, oh, Eve, who is she talking to now? She said, that's weird, she's holding her hand. And Eve said, oh,
Mammy's so odd. She'll talk to anybody. And then Joe finished the conversation and came over to us and said, you'll never guess what just happened. So we're like, oh, what have you done? So she said this young girl, probably about 25 to 30, came up to Joe and she said, I don't know how to say this, she said, but I love Jesus. So Joe was like, okay. She said, I love Jesus too. She said, my husband's a pastor and, you know, I love the Lord. And this woman said, this has never happened to me before. And she said, I don't really know how to say this. But she said, as soon as I walked into this church tonight, God said to me, find a woman in a red coat. And I need you to tell her that I'm going to heal your broken heart. So Joe starts crying. And then this woman is crying because the Lord has put something on her heart to tell somebody else. And she didn't know what to expect. And so they're both in tears and embracing. And then by the time Joe told us, we wanted to go over and just thank this woman for being faithful to the Lord, and she'd gone. But this is what Joe said the next day. Why, out of 8 billion people on this planet, would God care enough just to tell me that everything's going to be okay? Can I say this today? Out of the 8 billion people on this planet, when we seek God's face, God says to each of us, it's going to be okay. How do we know that? Because one day he's going to take us from all this pain. He's going to take us from all this turmoil. He's going to take us from all this hatred. And he's going to take us home. But until then, he's promised us to give us the cheer that we need, that sometimes life can take from us. He's promised to restore that joy to us, that sometimes this world can absolutely take the wind out of our sails. He's promised to give us the peace that passes understanding when we seek his face. But the unfortunate thing is that we don't seek after him as much as we should. But when we do, there are blessings that come from that. I don't know where you are right now, and I don't know what you need to hear, and I don't know where you are with the Lord. I don't know what your walk is like with him. I don't know what you are facing in life. I don't know what difficulty you're going through. But he does. But we can't expect God to just shower his blessings upon us if we are not willing to just seek his face. It's not the fact that the pastor wants to stand up the front and embarrass people for not reading their Bible or not praying. It's important because as believers in Christ, we need to seek his face. Because if we don't, we will be defeated Christians. We will be a defeated child of God. We'll still have that relationship, but we're not going to walk in victory. We're not going to feel his closeness. We're not going to enjoy his peace. We're not going to be just surrounded and filled with that joy. We're going to struggle. So I'm going to challenge you again. If you are not seeking the Lord like you should, make a change. Why? Because you can't afford not to. Seek his face this week in prayer. Seek his face this week in the scripture. Seek his face this week because there's blessings that are available to every child of God that'll put the effort in and seek him. Father, we thank you so much again for this day. We thank you for this time together, and we thank you for the way in which you bless us, even when we don't deserve it. But Father, we just ask that you would help each and every one of us this week. Lord, maybe we made a commitment at first to make a change in our routine so that we could put the effort in to seek him for you. Maybe that lasted for a couple of days. And Lord, if we've dwindled and the fire's gone out a little bit, then would you just stoke the embers today? Would you put that flame back in our hearts so we might make the effort to seek you? Maybe our lives are such that it's too busy to do it first thing in the morning. Let's help us do it at lunchtime then, in our lunch break. Help us, Lord, as we drive to work, just to talk to you as we would if we were talking to a passenger in the car. Help us, Lord, to seek you a face at every opportunity we have. Help us, Lord, to not just seek you early, to not just have a thirst for seeking you, but for us to seek you with all of our being. Because we recognize that there's a calmness available, that there's a clarity available, that there's a confidence available, that there's a cheer available. We thank you for that, Lord. Because only you can help us in the difficulties that we face in life. So, Father, would you just continue to speak to our hearts today and help us to put right in our relationship with you that which has gone astray because of our lack of seeking. Help us, Lord, to seek your face, because you've promised us in your word on more than one occasion that if we seek you, we'll find you. And we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. We just pray now and ask all of these things in Christ's most wonderful and precious name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. Close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Carl.
Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day. We thank you for the safe journey of our brothers and sisters back from the Lord. And we do thank you for the continued protection of your focus. But I just think of the quick comment that our pastor mentioned to you, that J.M.L. I've heard, Lord, I just ask you to bless us as we need you, Lord, and ask it to be that advertisement, Lord, not for the next best gift, Lord, but the one to give. Lord, just ask you to help us and keep us safe as we go to serve us, Lord, and bring us back again.